As you can see, we're talking about where to start. Where to start for who? Let's say you've been saved for a week. You never really paid much attention to the Jesus stuff, the religious stuff, the church people stuff, because that was where the superstitious, weak-minded people go for their little dose of what Karl Marx called the opiate of the masses. And suddenly one day it hit you, you finally realized it, that I am a sinner. There's a God, there's a Creator, I'm a sinner, and one day I'm going to have to face Him. And somebody got you the gospel. And now you're saved. You trusted what Christ did for you, somebody got you that information, and you believed it and you trusted it, and now you're saved. Does that happen a lot? Sometimes. You'd like to see it happen more. But more likely what happened is you were a very religious, very faithful attender of church, and also very unsaved, because you'd never heard the gospel in your church. You'd heard a lot of stuff about works and doing this and praying that and coming here and giving that, but nobody ever told you Christ died for your sins. Trust what He did and He will save you. You never heard that. So you may know a lot more stuff about this book, kinda, but now you're going from, I used to be a very religious, unsaved person, to now I'm a saved person. Where do I start? And that happens a lot. You can go to churches for 5, 10, 20, 30 years and never hear the gospel presented. You can not hear 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 4, Ephesians 1, 13. You hear that Christ died for your sins, was buried, and rose again the third day as payment for your sins. You hear that, you believe it, and you trust what He did. People go to churches for decades, never hear it. So you believe, somebody confronts you with the information you've never heard, Ephesians 2:8, for by grace are ye saved through faith, and not of yourselves. You never heard that in your church, most likely. It's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel, 1 Corinthians 15, by which also ye are saved, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that He was buried, and that He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. That's the gospel. Guess who's not in it? You. Me. Christ did this, Christ did that, Christ did this, Christ did that. We hear that, believe it, and trust it, and then we are saved. So whether you started off knowing nothing, not even paying attention to really Jesus, or being a very religious, unsaved person, whatever the fact is, now you're saved. You've believed the gospel. You're going to heavenly places, but you're still biblically dumb as a brick. Right? But at least you're saved. And like we talked about, you can cure ignorance. You're dumb as a brick, you're ignorant, but that's curable. You've been made a member of the church, the body of Christ. You're where you are sealed, and you will spend eternity in heavenly places as a trophy of God's grace. But right now, you're still dumb as a brick. So that begs the question, you know, especially if you're in the crowd number one, you know, the people that never really paid attention to Jesus, but somebody confronted you with the gospel, what's the only one verse you ever knew? Judge not! Matthew 7:1, the shut up verse. Judge not! You're a sinner! Judge not! So you got to learn. You've got to figure this out. Because even if you were in the second crowd, the very religious, unsaved people, what have you heard? What's the one thing that really is all that you know? The hymnal. You know the hymnal. That's what you've learned. But studying Bible, when you go and you hear a homily or a sermonette, and you got half of a verse here and part of a verse there, and a good tear-jerking story, and an admonition on how to live a better life, have you learned how to study your Bible? But you feel good. And now you got people that got you the gospel and said, this is literally true. You have to literally trust this. It really happened. This is how you're saved. And now you have to go through and study your Bible literally like this. And it's context, and it's got divisions, and you got to rightly divide. What's that mean? I don't know. Where do you start? After the homilies and the sermonettes, you remember your pastor doing some kind of a Greek lesson. You know, he'd talk about wapani and koineni that, and he's just so smart, you'll never understand that. But these people are now telling you, study this Bible, learn it, you'll grow in Christ, it'll be great. So you go home, you've got your new church bag. You never had a church bag before. You've got to carry this Bible. This stuff. They gave me tracts and a Bible and how to read through a Bible in a year plan. Take it home. You look at this thing, you pull it out of your bag. This thing's really heavy. It's thick. Hope it's big print. Oh, it's really small print. How long is this book? That's the point where you realize how steep the learning curve is. You've got a lot to learn. So what do? You tell your spouse, I'm going to go in and I'm going to study my Bible right now, honey. I'm going to go study my Bible now that I'm a saved person. So you sit down. Well, how do you eat an elephant? One bite at a time, right? Well, let's start at the beginning. Let's see, creation, I heard about that. Is that Adam and Eve stuff? I heard about that. Serpent eating the fruit, I heard about that before. Cain and Abel. Let's go to something I don't know. Let's turn past that. Genesis 10:2. The sons of Japheth, Gomer, and Magog, and Madai, and Javan, and Tubal, and Meshech, and Tyrus, and the sons of Gomer, Ashkenaz, and Riphath, and Togarmah, and the sons of Javan, Elisha, and Tarshish, and Kittim, and Dodanim. Riveting. Side note, that is my wife's ethnicity, her Jewish ethnicity. She's Ashkenazi. I just noticed that, Ashkenaz there. Anyway. But here you are, dumb as a brick, go home and study your Bible, and I got, what is this, Mormons? Genealogies? Alright, well, so then you go, well, let's try something else. Yeah, let's go see how it ends. Gotta think like me. Yeah, go to this back part, see what the ending looks like. Revelation 17. And there came one of the seven angels which had the seven vials and talked with me, saying unto me, come hither, and I will show unto thee the judgment of the great whore that sitteth upon the many waters. This is a bit more interesting. Better than Ashkenaz and Tiphah and Magog. So he carried me away in the spirit, verse 3, into the wilderness, and I saw a woman sit upon a scarlet-colored beast full of names of blasphemy, having seven heads and 10 horns. Strange things are afoot at the Circle K, my friend. And upon her forehead was a name written, Mystery Babylon, the Great, the Mother of Harlots and Abominations of the Earth. And I saw the woman drunken with the blood of the saints and with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. Okay. Have to ask the pastor about that one next Sunday. That's what you're thinking? You're trying to study your Bible for yourself. I got genealogies. Anybody want to make sense of any of this? Well, I understand that, but you're still dumb as a brick biblically, and you're trying to think. So let's try something else. Let's aim for the middle. All right. You try for the middle, but you miss by a little bit. And you end up in Jeremiah chapter 11. And in Jeremiah chapter 11, verse 1, the word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, "Hear ye the words of this covenant, and speak unto the men of Judah and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem. And say thou unto them, Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, Cursed be the man that obeyeth not the words of this covenant, which I command your fathers in the day that I brought them forth out of the land of Egypt from the iron furnace, saying, Obey my voice and do them according to all which I command you. So shall ye be my people, and I will be your God, that I may perform the oath which I have sworn unto your fathers, to give them a land flowing with milk and honey, as it is this day. Then answered I and said, So be it, Lord." So here you are, your first saved attempt at Bible study. What have you learned? Honey, did you learn anything? Yeah, I did. What'd you learn, honey? I think the Mormons have something going with those genealogies. There's a lot of that in the Bible. That's all you learned? No, did you know there's a drunk whore at the end of the Bible? What? I found this part in the middle that said we're supposed to keep a covenant with Israel, or God's going to curse us, though. We better figure that out. Have you learned how to rightly divide anything? Something about Honey Nut Cheerios, too, in there. I don't know, milk and honey, something. So your spouse is pleased with the effort, but obviously, seeing your failed results at Bible study, what do? Phone a friend. Hi! Sister Sally says to start reading where the church starts. Okay, I'll go there. Where does the church start? So you look down in your Bible bag for your exhaustive concordance and dictionary of Bible themes. No, you don't. Google. Where does the church start? Now you remember, the church that she's talking about, somebody got them the gospel. So they're teaching them it's by grace, by faith, grace. You're saved. It's not about Jew and Gentile. It's about one body in Christ, right? It's about people going to heavenly places and people that aren't under the law, not under one of those covenants, right? That's what they taught you if they got the gospel to you properly? You would hope. But let's say for our hypothetical, that's what this is the church. We're not under the law. We're not under covenants. It's grace, believing what Christ did for us, and we're going to die and going to heaven. I need to find where that church starts. So you go through your Google results. After an hour, honey, does our church have an entry level like Starting Jesus for Dummies or some kind of class like that? I've been Googling for an hour, and it seems like there's four different places in the Bible where the church starts. I can't figure it out. Where to start then? That's the question. Where do you start? Where did the church, the body of Christ, start? I don't get it. You have to tell me later. Did you know that the biggest church, the most followers, says that the church starts with Matthew 16. Who's that? Right. There's more than a billion people on planet Earth that say the church started with Matthew 16. All right, so I'm going to go there, honey. That was top of the Google results. I'm going to go there, and I'm going to look for this grace and faith and trusting the cross and not under the law and no Jew and Gentile. I'm going to go there and look for that. See, our guy's still dumb as a brick, but he's figuring out how to get smarter. Matthew 16, 15. Jesus is asking disciples who people are saying that he is. Matthew 16, 15, he said unto him, "But whom say ye that I am?" And Simon Peter answered and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered and said unto him, "Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven." What did he reveal? Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Anything else? No. Did he reveal to him trust in the upcoming cross as payment for your sins? "And I say, also say unto thee, that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." So the Roman Catholics say Peter is the rock. We follow Peter, and he's our pattern. It's funny, if that were true, somebody needs to go back and tell Jesus how to speak properly. "Jesus, I know you're the Son of God, but you've got a communication problem. You shouldn't have said, 'Upon this rock I will build, thou art Peter, and upon you I will build my church.' That's what you should have said, Jesus." But that's not what the English says in our Bible, does it? The rock is believing that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, if you read it like a normal sentence. But that doesn't stop a billion people from saying that. What's missing from all the churches that say their church started here? What's missing from their gospel presentation? The same thing Peter was missing in Matthew 16. Just read on. Verse 21. "From that time forth began..." You know what "began" means? Right. Just started. "From that time forth" means from all the times before that time forth. Jesus hadn't said one word to anybody about dying. First mention, "From that time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples how that he must go do," 1 Corinthians 15, 1-4. And Peter says, "That's great. Yay, Jesus." Is that what Peter says? "He began to rebuke him, saying, 'Be it far from thee, Lord. This shall not be unto thee.'" So the people who got you the gospel tell you to go find the start of the church. The biggest list you find on your Google results says go to Matthew 16, and you can't find anybody believing that gospel that you just trusted. And trying to stop it? Trying to stop the first Easter? I know, Easter's a pagan festival, isn't it? Moreover, look on in Matthew 16. And you see this happening in your church. Or no, Matthew 18, I'm sorry. Read on. Matthew 18, 18. "Whatsoever ye shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatsoever ye shall loose on earth shall be loosed on you," or loosed in heaven. Two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything they shall ask, it should be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. Anybody have that working out for you at your church? Brother Bill and Brother Bob both asked the Lord for this. It's going to happen. That work out for you? So that doesn't work out. Then you flip forward a few pages, Matthew 25. There's some cool stuff in there, somebody told me. Oh yeah, Matthew 25, all the nations coming together, Son of Man coming in His glory. Verse 35, then shall the King say unto them on His right hand, come ye blessed of my Father, and inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Why do these people get to go into the kingdom? By believing in Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection on the cross as full payment for their sins? Because of what they did. Well, that's not what they told me when they gave me the gospel. Works? And wait, I know I've only been to church twice, but I remember the preacher saying the kingdom was going to be on earth. That's not heaven. So this is talking about a kingdom on earth, not heaven. And these people are getting in based on stuff they did. They told me when I got the gospel, it's not by works of righteousness which I have done. And I was happy about that because I don't have any works of righteousness. So here I am trying to find the start of the church, and I'm finding stuff that doesn't match anything that I've been told so far. That's one group. There's another group that says, when did the church start? Well, it started at the cross. You ever hear that? Matthew 27:50, Jesus, when He had cried again with a loud voice, yielded up the ghost, and behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom, and the earth did quake, and the rocks rent. So we got the veil torn. And do you know what that means? So I'm looking for the start of the church. I need to go to that moment on the cross. I'll read to you what a lot of people think that means. The tearing of the veil at the moment of Jesus' death dramatically symbolized that His sacrifice, the shedding of His own blood, was a sufficient atonement for sins. It signified that now the way into the Holy of Holies was open for all people, for all time, both Jew and Gentile. And do you know what verse they give to cite it? None! They just say it. That's what that means. Where's your reference?
I don't have one.
Wow. So the veil torn, meaning Aliyah oxen free, covenants are over, grace through faith, believing and trusting Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection as full payment for your sins. That's where the church starts. Why then? I can read. That was, what, Matthew 27? I can read as far out as Acts 21, people who believe in Jesus talking about how zealous they are of the law. They told me, they said, you're not under the law, it's about grace. What they told me in the two church services I went to. So that's problematic. That's Acts 21:20, by the way. This has been described by some as the what's in my pocket theory. Let me demonstrate that. You're not going to see which of these items I'm going to put in my pocket. What's in my pocket? You don't know. You can't see it. Does that mean it's not there? It's in my pocket. Just because you don't know what's in my pocket doesn't mean it's not in my pocket, does it? It was the binder clip. Meanwhile, the fact that I had that in my pocket, what good did it do any of you? None. So it's a funny way to illustrate and try to make a point, but really, if that's the case, it's not doing anything for anybody. If the church is there, but nobody knows about it and knows no doctrine for it, can ever be edified or built up in it, it's useless. Do you know what the veil rent actually meant? The veil, you know what the veil in the temple was? You shall not pass or die except once a year and only the high priest. Now it's ripped top to the bottom. What does that mean? How about God left? That's where God was, wasn't he? That's where his presence was. Did Jesus say anything about that? You're still in Matthew. I try to keep a lot of these references in Matthew. Look over at Matthew 23. Matthew 23 and verse 37. This is Jesus speaking. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets and stonest them which are sent unto thee, how often would I have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathereth her chickens under her wings, and ye would not. Behold, your house is left unto you desolate. Where was he at when he said that? In the temple. That's a warning to Israel. It's not the birthday of some church of grace through faith and not under the law and no covenants. It's God left. So that's two. I'm going to give a more vibrant color to the next one. Where does the church start? I'm just going down my Google results. I got... What's the two? That's where I'm going. Oh, you were doing an A. Got it. I thought you were doing like a house or something. These people who follow this tend to be more vibrant. So I will give them a more vibrant color. The birthday of the church is Acts 2. Everybody knows that. That's where I need to go to find out the information about salvation by grace through faith, trusting in Christ's death, burial, and resurrection, not under the law, under grace, not under covenants. That's where I need to go to find the start of my church, allegedly. So, I find Acts 2, and I start to read. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all in with one accord in one place. Verse 4, they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. I thought they said not to go to that church because that was the kooky church. The tongue-talking people, the people that got me the gospel told me not to go to that place. What about, where's the gospel? Okay, let's just start with that. Let's find the gospel. Let's find somebody preaching what they told me to trust. Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Well, they just taught me it wasn't about works and I didn't have to be baptized. And this Peter guy is preaching, repent and be baptized. How can this be the birthday of my church? You read on. What? I know that pastor is a Republican. These people in here are communists.
Verse 44, and all that believed were together and had all things common, and sold their possessions and goods, and parted them to all men as every man had need.
Why don't we do that at the church I've been at now for 2 weeks? Nobody does that. They all have their own cars. They all have their own houses. This is the birthday of our church? So now we've got Holy Ghost, repent and get wet, start a commune, but there's no preaching of the cross as payment for anybody's sins in the chapter where the birthday of my church is supposed to be. Peter's preaching it as a wicked act, an evil act by Israel. Let's read on. We've got some more oops. This is supposed to be the birthday of my church, but this same Peter guy is saying, no, it's the last days of Israel. Acts 2:14, Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, ye men of America, ye Methodists, ye Baptists, ye men of Judea, and all ye that dwell at Jerusalem, in verse 14. What's going on, Pete? Verse 16, this is that which was spoken by an Old Testament prophet of Israel. Verse 17, and it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. On and on, look at verse 20. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the great and notable day of the Lord come. Happy birthday to you. This is supposed to be the birthday of my church. The speaker, filled with the Holy Ghost, is he making very many mistakes? Is saying it's the last days of Israel have started. The timeline's begun. Well, what about that John Hagee? He said something about the moon to blood, didn't he? Peter doesn't tell anyone there to trust what Christ did as payment for their sins. He says it's the last days of Israel. Remember how we got here. Dumb as a brick, but saved. Where do I start? Look at the confusion we've now gotten to. Peter's preaching prophecy. Our gospel was a mystery, wasn't it? Peter's saying, this is what Joel talked about his very next sermon in Acts 3. He says, this is what we've been talking about all the prophets since the world began. Same message. One more. Where does the church start? The church starts with John the Baptist. That's where you need to go to find the beginning of the information for the church, the body of Christ. Anybody ever heard that before? Not you, Mike. No. The one true church, the one proper church, is the Baptist church. And we can train all of the Baptist churches back for 2,000 years, back to the first Baptist, John the Baptist. That's where the church starts. Do you know that? What would you be if you weren't a Baptist? The only proper response is ashamed of yourself. because this stuff is said. I have printed here, it's called The Trail of Blood, put out by Baptist ministers. And you can all look at it when it's over, but they trace the Baptist church all the way back to John the Baptist. And they say that you can follow the red dots to find the true churches, quote unquote.
So, okay, well, I'll go try there. Go look at John the Baptist.
More like a trail of water. Trail of baptistries.
Matthew 3:1. In those days came John the Baptist preaching in the wilderness of America. No. Preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying, "Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. For this is he that was spoken by the prophet Isaiah, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight."
Okay. Well, that's an interesting place to start. Did you hear the Lord's coming? He's going to die on the cross. You need to trust his upcoming death, burial, and resurrection as full payment for your sins. Not under law, you're under grace. No covenants of Israel. All one in one body, no Jew, Gentile. Did you hear anything like that spoken? So that's an odd place to start. No gospel of the cross.
Well, wait a minute. When I was looking at the Matthew 16 people, I remembered that he didn't say anything about the cross till like almost the very end to Peter. I learned something about the Bible today. Drunken whore, Mormons, and when Jesus started talking about the cross. So then John the Baptist couldn't be preaching that. If the first time Jesus said anything about it, he says it to Peter. I remember John the Baptist got beheaded. So he was probably dead before Jesus ever said anything about dying on a cross.
Maybe if you're a good Bible student starting, you run into Hebrews 9. You can't have a New Testament. That's what your people taught you, your New Testament. You can't have a New Testament without the death of the testator. Well, John the Baptist was dead before Jesus, one, said anything about the cross. Two, actually died on the cross. So that means John the Baptist has to be an Old Testament prophet. Well, the Old Testament, that was the temple and the animal sacrifices, right? That was the Israel stuff they told us we don't do anymore. They got a really nice chart, though. But let me get this straight. I'm trying to find the beginning of the church, the body of Christ. They told me to go see John the Baptist. They told me it's about salvation by grace through faith, believing what Christ did on the cross. They told me it's not about Jew and Gentile. We're all one body in Christ. They told me we're going to die and go to heaven, not an earthly kingdom. And you sent me to an Old Testament prophet of Israel who was dead before he ever heard a word about the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ as payment for anything, and you named your church after him. I may be a Bible bonehead. I may be an ignoramus. I may be only saved 2 weeks here. But you told me I had to believe this and had to study this. How do you get there? Hmm. This is when you call out to your spouse again. Except now you sound like Charlie Brown.
Honey! Yeah! I can't find anyone who'll tell me when the church starts. Everything I find is wrong.
So then you make your list. You make your list. What did they tell me? Jew, Gentile, one body. Check. Not under the law. They told me that. Preaching the cross as the gospel. No works. We're looking forward to dying and going to heaven, not an earthly kingdom. Where did that start? Ding! The light bulb comes on. You think, I'm just going to go find where those verses are. They said they had verses for all of it. I'm just going to go look them up. Jew and Gentile, one in Christ. Where do I find that one? That one's in something called Ephesians. Ephesians. All right. Not under the law, under grace. I can pronounce that one. That's Romans. Okay. Preaching Christ crucified for salvation. Christ crucified not as a wicked, horrible thing that needs to be repented of by Israel, but Christ cross as glorious and the gospel which saves your soul. Where do I find that? Oh, something called Corinthians. Yeah, you're not going to find that in Malachi. I'm telling you. Salvation by grace through faith. No works. Not like that Matthew 25 part. No works. Where did I find that one? Titus. He must be cousin of the Romans. Titus. All right. Dying and going to heaven instead of an earthly kingdom. Heavenly places. Oh, there's that Ephesians again. Found it there. Colossians. I found that one there. Thessalonians. Something called Thessalonians. I found that there. Just trying to find out where do I start. So you turn to these books and you look. There's one. There's two. There's three. And you keep counting as you turn the pages. Honey? Honey! I think I found something here. Did you know? I just count. There's 13 in a row. The books start with the same word. Paul. And all the verses you told me about the stuff that is the church stuff, they're all in books that start with Paul. I think we need to check out this Paul guy. I heard that was the boring part. I'm just trying to find where the church starts, honey. He's the guy that wrote all the stuff you told me I was supposed to believe now that I'm saved. I think we need to go there. Guess what? Honey, when did the church start? The church, the body of Christ. Where do you find that? Not a stupid answer like, what's in my pocket? The church, the body of Christ, starts with the first word of 13 books of your Bible. Where do you want to find the start? Find where Paul started. the church which trusts Christ's death, burial, and resurrection as full payment for sins, Jew and Gentile in one body, going to heavenly places, not of works of righteousness which you have done, not under the law, walking in the Spirit according to grace. Where do you find the start of that? That guy.
Where's your reference, Steve?
Well, thank you for asking. 1 Timothy chapter 1. 1 Timothy, I wonder what that book starts with. What's the first word? Oh, Paul. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 16. Howbeit for this cause I obtained mercy, that in me, 14th, Jesus Christ might show forth all longsuffering. Maybe 16th. There's the 12, and then the 1, and then they replaced the 1. That's 13. For me, the 24th. Because these guys said it started back with John the Baptist. Oh, yeah, well, that, me, the 580th. Look at what it says. Remarkable, considering what these people say, what these people say, what these people say, and what these people say. Paul says, in me first, Jesus Christ might show forth all longsuffering for a pattern. I'm the first, I'm the pattern. Well, if that's true, then these people are wrong. These people are wrong. These people are wrong. These people are wrong. It's like 1.5 billion of the people that call themselves Christian. Do you go by numbers of people or do you go by Bible verses? In me first, I'm the pattern. 1 Corinthians 4, he says, be followers of me. Philippians 3:17, he says it again, be ye followers of me, followers of, together of me, and find more people that follow me. Mark them which walk so as ye have us for an example. Follow me and follow other people that follow me properly. First Corinthians 3:10, he calls himself a wise master builder. Paul does. God gave me grace. I'm a wise master builder. I have laid the foundation. Well, what about the Peter people? I thought the foundation was laid back in Matthew 16. Well, Paul doesn't get saved all the way until Acts 9. So we're talking about a different foundation. Same Christ. Christ of Israel, Christ of the body of Christ. Ephesians 3 says, God gave me a dispensation for you, and that he revealed unto me the mystery. The verse you were quoting earlier, Galatians 1, I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man, for neither I received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by revelation of Jesus Christ. Honey, maybe my Google's broken. Maybe I don't know what I'm doing here, but I just looked at the verses and I believe the verses like you told me to believe the verses, and it looks like the church of the stuff that you say we believe now, it all started with Paul. I think we need to check that guy out. That's the boring part. It's not even red letters. Paul's the one that says, me first. I'm the pattern for folks who come after. And guess what? All of us, we're all after. I found 13 books in a row that all start with the word Paul. It's on the right side of my Bible. That's where I find all the stuff that they say I'm supposed to believe now. I think I'll start with Paul. How long is that person going to continue to be a Bible bonehead? Dumb as a brick, biblically. The learning curve will be climbed steeply, won't it? Honey, I think I'm going to start with Paul. So instead of going to the far left or the far right or trying to guess in the middle of my Bible, I'm going to start with the first book that starts with that word, Paul. Where does that put you? Romans. What do you learn in Romans? First couple chapters, you know what you learn in Romans? You learn a history lesson about sin. Sin, sin, more sin, all the way from the beginning of the world up until present day of the time of writing. A sin lesson. Romans 3 to 5, what does that teach you? Salvation by grace through faith apart from the law. Well, that's what my church told me I'm supposed to believe now. What does Romans 6 to 8 teach you? Teach you now that you're saved by grace through faith apart from the law, this is how you serve and operate according to grace. Hebrews 9 through 11 answers the question that is on your mind after you get done reading the whole first part of your Bible. What about Israel? What about all those promises to Israel? What about all that stuff? What happened to them? That's what you learn about in Romans 9 through 11. Romans 12 through 16 teaches you how to behave towards others, towards rulers, towards weaker brothers, all that stuff. And now you, the Bible bonehead, done a couple Google searches, decided to believe some verses. How smart are you going to be when you get done reading through the book of Romans 4, 5, 10 times? Knowing how to operate as this. You're not going to get it. You're not going to get it the first time. You'll read it through 2, 3, 4, 5 times. You'll still have questions. You won't know how to make sense of this or that. But you'll be ticking off a lot of the big stuff. Right? You'll know a lot more. So where to start? You can start there. Start with Paul. That is all I have today. Have I said it all? Any comments or questions?